This episode of the UAV Digest is sponsored by Go Engineer, provider of design, engineering, and 3D printing solutions for the aerospace and unmanned vehicles industries. To learn more, visit theuavdigest.com/goengineer. And by UAV Propulsion Tech, a provider of propulsion, servo, autopilots, and rescue and recovery parachute solutions for the unmanned aerial vehicle market. For more information, check out www.uavpropulsiontech.com. You're listening to episode 209 of the UAV Digest. I'm Max Flight in Hartford, Connecticut.
And I'm David Vanderhoof in a matching wardrobe and also Philadelphia. Ironically, Max and I are wearing the same color shirt. This has never happened in 8+ years of us recording together, but that's what happens when you have video. But we've got a good show tonight. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, we do. We're dry, but farther to the south, it's just one huge hurricane after another. And I think we're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Besides that, we've got a Craigslist for drones, walking your drone at the drone park, replacing helicopters, some more stories and some feedback and some very humorous videos of the week. So we've got a big show, so I guess before we get blown away by a hurricane, we should get started. Well, Max, our first story comes from thedailybeast.com, and this is going to be involving Hurricane Harvey, which dropped, for all of our international listeners, dropped gallons upon gallons upon hundreds of millions of gallons of rain on the south coast of Texas. And we'll probably dive into Hurricane Irma, which is steaming up the coast and is about to make landfall in Florida. So our first story is actually from the Daily Beast. Amateur drones over Houston endangering rescue choppers, officials say. So we've got the good, the bad, and the indifferent when it comes to these stories, Max?
Certainly, at the beginning of the hurricane devastation, there were a lot of folks out there flying drones, as you might expect. And in fact, there was a tweet from the Texas Military Department on this. Now, the Texas Military Department represents the Texas Army National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and the Texas State Guard. And their tweet early on in the hurricane was hashtag alert. We are seeing civilian drones that pose extreme, in caps, risks to our rescue pilots and crews in high need areas. Kind of a plea to, you know, please stand down. It was a real problem. We've talked about this previously with, maybe well-intended drone pilots flying their drones, but they interfere with rescue and relief efforts.
And in the case of Hurricane Harvey, we had a lot of low-flying helicopters. There was so much rain. There was so many people climbing to the roofs, and the flooding was so bad. A lot of helicopters were doing search and rescue for people on rooftops.
And, of course, the FAA stepped in with some warnings. We have an item. This is from AOPA. Amid warnings, drone respond to Hurricane Harvey aftermath. There's some quotes from the FAA at the time. The FAA warns drone operators that flying an unauthorized drone could interfere with local, state, and federal rescue and recovery missions. You could be subject to significant fines if you interfere with emergency response operations.
And, of course, we know that the FAA worked very quickly to get people authorized and getting waivers to their 107s. We know that our friend Parker was one of them and is still down in Texas working disaster recovery and do with his drones. But they notified the FAA to get a waiver right away. the FAA has been very responsive to those waivers to get people who are qualified up and flying and interacting. In fact, our friend Parker actually got a ADS-B from NASA to so they could interact with the low-flying helicopters, et cetera, from the get-go. But there's a lot of people who mean well who aren't as qualified as some of the professionals that have moved in there. And I think it was trying to find a balance of getting the right people into the air and the wrong people or the less qualified people on the ground so they don't interfere with something broader.
I think all of us who have interest in unmanned aircraft can just envision how a natural disaster like this is something where unmanned aircraft could really, really provide a lot of assistance. I mean, you need to understand what the damage is, where the damage is, where people are stranded, need to be rescued. There are just so many opportunities for really important work to be done that can be facilitated by drones or other unmanned aircraft. And of course, we saw a lot of people stream into Texas, if you will, with their drones looking for the opportunity to help out. So the question that kind of comes from all that is, how do you integrate drone usage in natural disasters like that? And I think in some ways, David, we're kind of figuring that out. I mean, we're figuring out as the regulations are developed, just how to fly them, how they should be used in normal circumstances. But beyond all that, there's this question of what about in these natural disasters where they can really do something significant? How should all that be coordinated? I mean, don't you think that's a big problem?
Yeah, and we're still at a immature level as far as this goes. Hurricane Harvey is a real lesson. You know, the FAA, to give them credit, as well as rescue resources and first responders, are using this as a way to learn what the good and the bad is. But again, it's a matter of, this is an opportunity to learn what they can do and what they shouldn't be doing with unfortunate circumstances. And now we've got a whole bunch of people in Texas. What happens as Hurricane Irma comes up the Florida coast? Do the lessons that we learned in Harvey, can we apply them to Irma? And how quickly can we flip, you know, turn on a dime with some of this stuff? And it's all learn as you go. The problem is you got to make sure that as you're learning, the bad things aren't happening to complicate things even further.
Mm-hmm. So as we were pondering all of this, up comes an item on CBS News. Title is Drones and Their Pilots Get a Closer Look at Havoc Caused by Harvey. And in that article, they talk about an app, Drone Up. This is at droneup.com. And this is a really, really interesting concept. I don't know if this is the solution, but it might be. The idea is that Drone Up puts together qualified drone pilots and coordinates with local authorities when there is a natural disaster or I could imagine missing persons, kind of search operations, things like that. It's an interesting organization. The Drone Up website says Drone Up is about flying. It's about building a community of enthusiasts who share a passion. Drone Up was designed by pilots for pilots to support our diverse needs and interests. We can scale to provide mission support for hundreds of thousands of pilots responding, reporting, and communicating in real time. Drone Up facilitates safety, fellowship, emergency assistance, and commerce for a network of pilots of unmanned aerial vehicles using a mobile application connected to cloud servers. Really, really interesting concept. And the way it works is, I think, basically kind of simple, David.
You register, and when there's an alert, you respond. It boils down to. But the other thing is, it does set some standards, Max, I guess, is really, while it gives everyone an opportunity, right, it will assist first responders in, these are our qualified pilots. These are the people who can help you, you know, and it's kind of like AMA. I've always talked about how wonderful the American Modeling Association is, you know, the AMA.
The Academy of Model Aeronautics, right?
Academy of Model Aeronautics. And I don't know why after all these years, my brain went numb. But the Academy of Model Aeronautics really monitors their own and uplearns them. And this drone up sounds like it's getting a network together. And so that when there is a response necessary, it will provide quality over quantity, you know, and these people are qualified to be able to help you respond and won't hinder your response.
Yeah, I think it really is a fascinating concept, and it could be really powerful, I think, in terms of being a resource for first responders or you know, organizations that do that. It could be a local fire department or police department or something like that that maybe doesn't have its own unmanned aircraft resources. I can just envision that, you know, a call to the drone-up organization, and right away they have, you know, here are the qualified pilots in your area. They mention that after an alert, and when the drone-up members arrive at the scene, that the there's a senior pilot amongst them who becomes the liaison with law enforcement or first responders or whoever. So it's not just, you know, a crowd of people show up and say, okay, you know, here's my Phantom, what do you need? A little more organized than that. Also, they mention at the DroneUp website that they're also establishing an online marketplace. This is for qualified pilots to do commercial work. So jobs can be bid out and pilots respond. So there's that as well. There's also, as you mentioned, David, some, in terms of the qualifications, there's some training services offered here. In fact, they say training is offered for specific commercial uses in 10 to 20 industries. So really interesting. Now, so you might ask, well, okay, so what happened in Texas? There's a tweet from this organization. Their Twitter handle is Go Drone Up. And this was posted on September 4th. They said 110 pilots were flying in Houston, 400 pilots in the Hurricane Harvey disaster, 2,300 missions to date in Texas, 4,000 plus subscribers. So, you know, it seems like there's some results coming from this. So, yeah, something to watch.
And let's see how they respond to Irma. Max and I don't normally recommend organizations unless we actually believe in them, like our sponsors. This sounds like it's the right way to go. And to be able to have 50 people show up to a disaster and have a liaison who knows that those 50 people are qualified to take direction and is kind of an amazing thing that, you know, Max, when we started this 4+ years ago, I don't think we would have even imagined that, you know, we've talked about drones for good, and now we're starting to see drones for good, you know.
Yes.
Drones saving lives, you know, and we've come a long way. And I think these natural disasters are going to show how well the organization is and how much we've come to appreciate this community that we're part of, that we're lucky to be part of. Aviation's always been a tight community, and they respond. And in this way, the drone universe drone community is also responding in positive ways that I don't think we could have imagined 4 years ago when we started this tiny little show.
I think you're right. And this drone-up organization, I think, bears watching. I'm very curious to see how this develops. I did wonder, how is it funded? I mean, where's the money come from? Because there's a website, there's a database. You can subscribe. Actually, if you visit their website, you can actually subscribe to get information from them. But where does all the money come from? So I asked a DroneUp earlier today, and I got an email back from them pretty quickly. And they tell me that DroneUp is privately funded by investors. So there's another interesting aspect to this. We'll see where it goes.
I'd love to have them on the show so they could talk more about their program. So,
right.
So let's move along to a little more happier notes. Keep in mind that we are thinking about all of our listeners who are in Texas and who are in the Caribbean and soon to be in the southeast of the United States in the path of the largest hurricane ever recorded in the Atlantic. So with that, let's move on to a Craigslist for drones, which is Drone Facts. This seemed like a neat kind of story.
This is a startup. They offer a number of different drone brokerage services. They want to be a marketplace for buying and selling used drones. And I think they say somewhere, maybe on their webpage I saw, it said that anybody can make a list. Anybody can create a marketplace for used anything. But one of the interesting aspects here is that they also do inspection and provide repair services by an FAA-licensed aviation maintenance technician. So the idea is that you send them the drone to be sold. You send it to them. They inspect it. If there's any repair that needs to be accomplished, they actually do that there.
They also offer drone insurance through Transport Risk Management. So it's a new way to start. The listing, I think, Max, is approximately $60, which is a little expensive, but it is a startup,
right? And for that $60 is we understand it, that includes inspection of the drone. They'll actually create a test flight video of your drone and then post a listing on their site. And then if the drone is sold, or when it's sold, let's say, Drone Facts gets a 20% commission on the sales price, and you get the rest. Check them out there at dronefacts.us.
Well, Max, we're selling them, we're sending them into hurricanes, but sometimes you just need to go to the park and walk your drone. You've heard of dog parks, you've heard of people parks. This was from the Chronicle Online. Citrus County in Florida, unfortunately, it's Florida, has created the first designated drone park at Losanto Community Park. It helps if your county commissioner is a drone enthusiast that you get a park to go fly your drone in. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, that's Jimmy T. Smith. And as you mentioned, he flies drones himself. But where this idea came from was a high school student, Catherine Schlabach, asked Smith for some help to get a drone club up and running at the school. So they started a club, Citrus Drone Racing Club, which is up to, according to this article, 52 members already. And then they took the next step and said, if we've got a club, we need a place to fly. And so they've got this area designated for that purpose. Smith said, we've not done anything but technically created an ordinance, and that established an area for recreational quadcopter use. So not only is it a place for the students and others in the club to fly, but it also represents an opportunity, a visible opportunity for others in the community to come and see what drones are all about, learn from them. And I think this is something fantastic. It kind of, in some ways, it's simple to create, but this could have such a huge impact.
Yeah, we like this. This was a really feel-good story. We've got a young girl that wants to fly drones, which is always, we're always looking for, you know, young ladies to take up the drone mantle. And then we've got a responsive county commissioner and county that wants to support the school and this young lady. And there's no bad in this story.
Yeah, it's good all around.
It's just really good news. And in a world of bad news, this is one of those really good news stories. And good to Citrus County. Hopefully it'll be a model for other places, you know. The really sad part, though, was the first thing I thought of, Max, when I read about this was, is it within 5 miles of an airport?
Yeah, hopefully they've looked into that.
Boy, have I been programmed after 4 years. But we really, really good story, and congratulations to everybody involved with that. So let's talk about technology replacing technology. For years, Hollywood has depended on the helicopter for filming. All those helicopter chase scenes and automobile chase scenes. And this was from CNBC News in Canada. Drones edging out helicopter film pilots and videographers. Yeah, you got to admit, a drone's cheaper than a helicopter.
It sure is. I think maybe the drones can't replace helicopters for every application that a motion picture producer would like to capture. But certainly a lot of them, the drone can do just as much as a helicopter, in some cases even more, and not only at significantly lower cost, a lot lower, but there's also the safety aspect of this as well.
The article reported that since 1980, more than 30 people have been killed in helicopter accidents on film and TV sets. I was sort of surprised at that, but then thinking about it, I wasn't surprised about it. I think it was a helicopter accident that was the Twilight Zone movie that caused a big deal. Drones are just safer. You know, the worst that'll happen is you can lose the drone for all intents and purposes, and not you're losing life. And people, when they're, I don't know if anybody's watched helicopter filming, but a lot of times it's people hanging out of the helicopter onto the skids or, you know, doing the filming, not just filming from inside the helicopter. So there is an increased danger using helicopters over UAVs.
So, yeah, a disruptive technology for sure.
Right. But there's a good and a bad. Helicopter companies are losing business, but there's also a safety factor involved that it's a more of a positive thing. So there's good and bad with everything. So as usual, this is what happens when you have a disruptive technology. So did this actually come from our main man, this next article?
David, how did you guess? This is from the Press Herald in Maine. UMaine Augusta's new drone course training aces for a growing industry. And what we have here is the University of Maine at Augusta last year started a university-level UAV course, and that was the first such course in Maine, a 7-week course that prepares students for the FAA test for remote pilot operators. And it's an interesting course. Students learn to fly. It's not an inexpensive program. Program costs run about $110,000, so it's pretty significant. But it's the results, I think, after this that makes this an interesting article.
They say upon graduation, graduates are immediately in demand and are earning six figures working for a large corporation flying these drones because they're 107 certified. So it's an expensive program at $110,000, but the University of Maine System Research Investment Fund has given them $250,000 to cover that cost. So clearly Maine has decided that this is a reason for investment and should be funded, and the graduates seem to be succeeding.
you know, that's the, I think the important takeaway from this is that there are opportunities out there, not only just to learn about flying unmanned aircraft, but actually converting that into a career that pays well. And so here we see an example of that.
So let's go from Maine over the polar ice cap to China. This was from thedrive.com. Drones are helping a massive Chinese factory town fight pollution. I think China and India are the number one and number two, or we're number two carbon producers in the world. And I know during the Beijing Olympics, one of the big deals was their smog and their industry and the use of carbons and the overall pollution in China because of the industry there.
So there's a region in China, Dongguan, and it's actually upriver, a little north of Hong Kong. And there is a huge number of factories and businesses creating products there. The last survey, there were more than 900,000 factories registered in this one Chinese city. And the whole region there is just an amazing amazing center of manufacturing. I think the article says that 20% of the cell phones in the world are made in just this one area. Well, if you've got that many operations, that many businesses, there's no way that the authorities can inspect all of them for safety and environmental compliance. You just can't do it. There's too many of them. So what they've started doing is using drones for inspections. And they started out just doing some aerial photography. I think generally if somebody complained, or the article mentions that if you inspect around the smoke pipes, the smokestacks, for example, and you see a lot of corrosion around that, then that may be the sign that they're releasing corrosive materials into the air, things like that. But they've gone beyond that, and now they've got gas detection sensors on these drones that measure up to eight different pollutants. So they can fly a drone over an area, suspected problem, and hover about for a little bit, collect the data, and that'll tell them if you know somebody is pumping something into the air that they shouldn't be. So interesting solution to a problem. Here we've got drones doing what, you know, there isn't enough manpower to do conventionally. And so this is a great resource for those there in China that are trying to make sure that the safety and environmental requirements are being complied with.
Another good use for a drone, and of course you're not flying a person into the hazardous waste, but let's not be so depressing. Let's talk about our videos of the week. The first one is pretty self-explanatory. When you're trying to take a droney, you know, you need to be aware of your surroundings because you might fall into something, huh, Max?
Yeah, this is called Drone Funny Footage Fail. We'll have this on our webpage on the show notes for this episode. Yeah, you pay attention to what's going on, and you might avoid the problem that this woman ran into. We won't spoil it by telling you what happens, but check out that video.
And that would be theuavdigest.com/209, where we'll have links in the show notes.
Yep.
There's also one, Max, that you found, which also is a drone failure, but very humorous also, but we don't want to spoil it, so you'd like that one also.
I like the monkey. This is a compilation video of drone fails. And take a look at it. I think it's amusing. As I said, I think there's a few smart monkeys out there who, they know what to do when a drone flies by. So we'll leave it at that.
And we've got some listener feedback, which also includes a video. This was really cool from our listener, Steve. He says, quote, "I've heard all the discussions about collision avoidance between full-size planes and drones, but I haven't heard anything about collisions between RC planes and drones. an old friend who flies RC planes, and I met up with to photograph him flying his plane using my DJI Mavic. All went well, and I created this video. And we'll have a link to the Vimeo video, and which is really kind of cool.
It is. Yeah, it's a view of an RC airplane, fixed-wing RC airplane, taken by the Mavic.
I like that RC flying field they're in also.
Yes, it clearly something that is set up, you know, for that purpose, you can tell.
Those stands that he's fixing, I mean, it's a really nice RC flying field. But Richard says, a week later, we met up again, and this time it didn't turn out so well. I don't want to spoil it for you, but the second video is very interesting, and it involves a collision between the two aircraft. He ends up saying the following. Anyway, what's left of my Mavic is on its way to DJI. I have their insurance, so hopefully I'll be back in business soon. I don't want to spoil it, but it is an interesting video, and it had unfortunate circumstances.
All right. Well, David, I think that's about it for this episode of the UAV Digest. And, of course, we want to thank all of you for listening. You can find us at theuavdigest.com. Look for the show notes at theuavdigest.com/209. We'll have links to all of the articles we talked about, the videos, all of it. There's a lot of good stuff there. While you're at it, take a look at the right-hand side of our webpage where we've got a few conferences that are coming up that you might want to learn more about. You can click on those banners there to learn more about those conferences.
And let me say this week as we're recording this is InterDrone in Las Vegas. So we'd love, if you're a listener and you want to send us some feedback at theuavdigest.com, or we are an audio podcast. So if you want to make a sample recording and you are at InterDrone, you want to send your thoughts, we'd greatly appreciate it since Max and I aren't there. But I will be at the Big Drone Show in Toronto on the 27th and 28th of September this month. Please let me know if you're going to be there. I want to meet you, talk to you, and I look forward to seeing everybody there. And of course, if you want to participate with us, you can join our Slack listener team. You can do that by sending us an email at feedback@theuavdigest, and we'll be happy to let you join in into the fun there. Or you can be a part of our Twitter feed, which is @UAVDigest, and Facebook, theuavdigest.com. Our friend Parker has been putting up live videos, and I've also been attaching them to our Facebook page. So you can watch him work his magic, and you can see what's going on as far as drones go in Texas and how they're helping. So you can always become a patron of the show at patreon.com. And, of course, listen to our sponsors and click on them and let them know that you heard them on our show here. And last but not least, you can buy some swag at our Cafe Press store. So for all those people in our southeast part of the United States and our Gulf Coast states, be safe and be well. We're thinking about you. And so I'll say this is David in Philly.
And Max in Hartford.
Thanks for listening.